I don't know what's more confusing, learning astrology or just being a human. Moonday Musings is here to help with that. A weekly no-bullshit guide for the upcoming cosmic forecast and how you can actually use this in your real life. Hello, neighbor. Ugh, happy fucking Monday. Happy Moon Day. Welcome, my friend, to another episode of Moonday Musings. Let's just dive right into it, shall we? If you've never been here, hi, I'm Danny. Welcome to our show. Welcome to Moonday Musings. Let's just dive right into things and talk about last Moon Day. Last Moon Day. I gave you my heart. Can I just say that seriously every time I keep saying? In all seriousness, every time in my notes that I was talking about last Moon Day, that's all I could think of. So good morning. If it's morning for you, I'm singing you awake. But seriously, last Moon Day did not happen, did it? I thought of the song again, sorry. Well, let's talk about this. You may, if you follow me on Instagram, you might have already seen my story that I posted about this last week on Tuesday. But the week before last was my daughter's February break off of school, which is brand new for us, by the way, being from Colorado. We don't have February break in Colorado. I don't know if they have February break outside of New England, for all I know. So I was really, 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 really excited for February break. I made all of these plans for us, for Blair and I, and she ended up, poor fucking kindergartner thing, ended up with a fever. Again, this poor kid has been, it's just been like making the rounds through our house since basically September, probably October. And it's just, if you are a parent of a young child around this age, early elementary school or daycare, or if you had young children or know young children in again, early elementary or daycare, like this is... Such is life. It's just like this. So the poor thing gets a fever literally in the middle of the night, Friday into Saturday, going into break. So she was sick, poor thing. And I had to cancel most of our plans or reschedule most of our plans. And her fever did end up breaking on Thursday. Like she woke up Thursday. She went to bed with it Wednesday night, but woke up Thursday without it. So we took full advantage of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before last Moon Day to give her some semblance of a February break. And that whole week, I had made this decision to just let myself be a mom. You know, I had penciled in some work tasks on my to-do list. And I knew while I was writing them down, like, it's okay if I don't do these things. Like, I know that it's okay to skip a fucking episode in an email. Like, it's all right. Like, everyone is going to be okay. We'll live to see through to the other side of that. But it doesn't feel that way. All of my content creators and entrepreneurs and small business owners out there, I know you know what I'm talking about. It just, it doesn't feel that way. Honestly, you don't even have to be an entrepreneur. I felt this experience when I was employed as well, when I would have to call out or take a day off. No, literally, regardless of the reason, whether it was sick or not or whatever, it doesn't matter. So this experience maybe does apply to everybody. But, you know, on the inside, like while you're in that moment, while I was in that moment, I was like, of course, you know, Blair comes first, being a mom comes first. I want to look back on these times. This is why I have own my fucking business. I want to be able to make these decisions in the moment of like when it's better to prioritize her even more, you know, so I can be even more present with her and let work stuff or other things like take a little bit more of a backseat during that time. And so in that decision, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I feel great about that. And I had all these plans. I was like, you know what? I'll just skip the episode. I'll skip the email. I'll have like a cute little Instagram post. I'll record like a 30-second little announcement for the podcast, and I'll send like an email that has like a couple sentences and a picture or something like that. And just like, you know, it'll all take me like under an hour to do all of that. And none of that happened. That came to fruition in any shape or form. And the reason that they didn't is because I spent that whole week being really fully present with her. And if you are a parent at all, or you work with young children at all, you understand that when you talk about being as present as possible, the unspoken part of that is, and I'm going to take time for myself. And I'm going to make sure I'm okay. And I'm going to make sure I'm fed throughout that. And I'm going to let myself take breaks if I need to. And it ends up, when you decide, like, I'm going to be fully present in my kid's life today, it ends up being the thing that takes up that whole entire space. And so by the time, as soon as she was feeling better, and you can always tell when your kid, you know, like her independence came back, she was like playing off on her own. Like she just, it, you know, it's, they're easier when they're not sick. They're just easier. Like the load on you lessens. And as soon as that started happening, when her fever broke, you know, I give her this really, really awesome day on Friday. And then that meant I fit all into the weekend everything else that I normally do in little bits and pieces for us throughout the week. So I did all of the laundry, which actually I do the laundry every weekend. I am one of those psychopaths. I do like to do the laundry all in one day. I did all of our laundry. I did, and all of it, that includes the sheets, that includes folding, that includes putting away, just to give you the task load. I did all of our grocery shopping. I planned a full week's menu. I started meal prepping. And within that time, because again, that in our eyes, that was part of Blair's February break, I also made time to be with Blair and Jarrett. And like we went to the store and we got a couple games and we played games and we had some, did some science experiments at home together. We did all kinds of stuff. And so none of my little plans and prep work that I wanted to do came to fruition at all. And on Monday, I wanted, and this is where I'm tying it all full circle for all of you. I had this beautiful experience where Monday, Moonday rolled around and I was, it's not that I regretted. I didn't regret making any of the decisions that I did the entire week prior. And yet the truth remained that in those decisions I made, a thing that I really, really wanted to do in my job and in my work didn't get done. And that feeling on Monday, and I was totally powerless to it, it sucked. It really, really sucked. And I want to share this because I have seen so many parents experience this. And I just, you can be making literally all of the right decisions and something will still get dropped. And I've heard that advice, and that advice has been given to me, and I've seen it and I've read it and I've watched it on social media a million times, and still it humbled the fuck out of me, the experience itself. and I needed to experience it firsthand for myself, that it's just, it's not about fixing that. It just sucks. It sucks when you are literally doing your honest to goodness fucking best and something you really wanted to do still gets inevitably missed, and it's totally not your fault, and it's totally beyond your control. And I wanted to open up Moon Day today to talk about this because I think that this is a really valuable and validating experience to share with everybody. Because I really think if you're listening to this podcast, you are a person who has or experiences this currently. And I just want you to know that, like, you're normal, you're human. I see you. I'm with you. I know you really, truly are doing your best, even though when you drop something, it feels like you're not. It feels like you're doing everything wrong, even though you know. That's why this experience was so valuable and so sacred to me, and why I was like, we got to talk about this on the podcast with everybody, because I am telling you, I reflected back fresh on every decision that I made that whole entire week prior. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I wouldn't change a single thing that I did. There wasn't a single thing. And Virgo rules my second fucking house. And yet still, there wasn't a single thing that I was like, I could have done this better, this better, this better. I should have done this. I didn't have any should-haves or could-haves or would-haves. I really was like, no, that was given the cards that got dealt, the way they got dealt and the timing that they all did. Yeah, I used all the tools available to me, my resources. I communicated as best that I could along the way. And this is still what ended up happening. And that's so hard. And do you know why it's hard? Because this is very new. In previous generations in our professional industries and societies, we have prioritized work and finances first over those other areas of life that deep down we value more. And it's the whole reason we're doing the work and the finances in the first fucking place. And so it's, as humans, as the beautifully adapting, resourceful humans that we are, we all collectively, it's really not a credit to any one generation. It's been building and growing and rippling out for a long time. We collectively have been healing and working toward and in the midst of a transition of changing our priorities. When it comes to work, when it comes to finances, when it comes to home and family and what and our freedom, our time, our leisure, our fun, our adventure, all of those things matter to us so much more. We literally, the only reason for the most part, not for every job, because like obviously I really love my job. That's a huge factor too. But most of us, the main and only reason we even create and embark on a career is to be able to fund or provide resources for ourselves for all those other things that we value the most. And that is hard because that's not really been done for our time in history. That's very new to us. And an inevitable, this is what I want you to take away from this. That experience that I'm sharing with you today, the doing your best and still inevitably dropping a ball no matter what, when you're just because you're human and that's the best you can do and that's okay. That is a very, very difficult but necessary byproduct of this beautiful healing transition that we are doing collectively, that I believe is getting us closer and closer and closer to a world where more people have the access and the freedom to prioritize those things in life that do matter the most to them without totally sacrificing themselves or killing themselves in their job and their work and their career. We are doing some big work. If that resonates with you at all, no matter where you're from, how old you are, where you come, like anything. We are doing some major, major work, and it's working. And I salute you. I honor you. So let's go into our cosmic forecast here. And first, before we start talking all these transits and stuff, let's take three big, beautiful cleansing breaths. Make sure that wherever you're sitting, while you're breathing or standing, you feel comfortable and as even or balanced as you possibly can in the position that you're in. You don't necessarily feel more tension or more weight on one side or the other, if possible. You feel very centered and grounded. And every time you breathe in through your nose, I want you to feel refreshment. And every time you breathe out, I want you to let go of anything that just doesn't need to be held onto right now. When you're ready, take your last big, deep cleansing breath. And let's open ourselves up to this week's astrology. So we, my friends, are looking at this week of Monday, March 11th through this Sunday, March 17th. And our moon scope this week begins with moon in Aries. We are all fresh out of the new moon in Pisces yesterday on Sunday. And the moon is going to stay in Aries until tomorrow, Tuesday, after a pretty good chunk of a void moon day. We have a 13 and a half hour void of course moon on Tuesday, and then the moon will move into Taurus in the evening Eastern time. So bear in mind, and we talked about void moon magic, the most recent moon day episode. So that's only a quick scroll away if you're new or if you want a refresher about the void of course moon and what that means. So keep that in mind for tomorrow, for Tuesday. It is going to be a void moon day pretty much all day. And then the moon is going to move into Gemini on Thursday, and it will stay there until it finally moves into Cancer on Sunday, to finish out the weekend with the moon in Cancer. And honestly, as I say that, doesn't that sound really nice? I think it sounds nice to round out our weekend with a moon in Cancer. I don't know about you, but those Sunday reset videos on social media, like Reels and TikTok, they have me in an absolute chokehold. I love them. And there is something about the Sunday reset. If you don't know what it is, it's just an amazing video of a person like tidying up their house or restocking the fridge or doing a little meal prep or a combination of all those three things, or like their nighttime routine, just whatever it takes for them as a human uniquely to feel like they're resetting their energy on Sunday. And I love them. Total brain hack. It is my favorite shortcut to dopamine right now. Those videos are so motivating. And there's something about that that I think will be really beneficial to some of you for this coming Sunday with the moon in Cancer. So we see the moon basically over the course of the week moving through those signs, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and finishing out in Cancer. So make sure that you take a look at your birth chart and look to see where those signs span so that you can better understand the areas of life and any personal themes that the moon is going to be bringing some focus to for you this week. If you need help learning what the house each of the houses mean, what each of the signs are, their symbols, those chart basics. We have reference sheets and lots of really helpful learning materials in that witch school. Even just as a next door neighbor for just $5 a month, you get access to our library of archives that has all kinds of educational reference material for astrology and modern magic. So this week, as far as planetary movement and energies go, probably the biggest player that I want to talk about is happening today at 5:50 p.m. Eastern time. Venus is moving into its exaltation in Pisces today. So when a planet is considered exalted, this means that it's in a sign that it's not only just comfortable and like familiar with, but it's treated like royalty and really revered. Basically, we would say that that planet or that part of ourselves has the ability, we don't always want to say it's going to do this because astrology hits different for everybody. It totally depends on your unique birth chart. But overall, collectively, we would say that Venus moving into its exaltation in Pisces, that part of ourselves, our Venetian part of ourselves, can operate at its best or at its easiest. Now, when we look at collective transits like this, some of the experiences really, really happen on like an individual and personal level, but a lot of it happens on that very collective level. So sometimes when you're hearing the astrology from me and other astrologers that you hear in the forecast for the week, we're also talking about the things that you'll kind of observe or the things that you'll sense or get the vibe from certain people or certain situations, okay? So when it comes to Venus in Pisces exaltation specifically, this can be a time where our significant relationships and connections in life can feel like really in sync, just like on their game. Or like we can move, another way to look at it is we can move really even more instinctually and intuitively through connection. This is a time when aesthetics on fucking point. We are valuing what matters the most to us, which is probably a huge reason why that big download came for me at the very beginning of Moon Day today, where I was like, I have to share this experience with everybody. I would be willing to bet more than one person is going to really appreciate hearing the solidarity in this. That's totally Venus and Pisces. It's a good example is it's that feeling of like getting each other. Like you just get each other without having to even say a word, without having to explain anything. That is very, very much Venus in Pisces exalted. Okay. So Venus is going to be in Pisces. Let's see here, until April 5th, when it moves into Aries, which is a totally different vibe, but we will get there in April, my friends. Also wanted to mention today for the week, this Sunday, March 17th, is St. Paddy's Day, of course. Don't forget, my friend, there were no snakes in Ireland. St. Patrick had pagans killed and driven out of the country in the name of Catholicism. And before I continue any further, I just want to make a note. This is not an excuse to go shitting on your Christian and Catholic friends or other neighbors. This is simply a recounting of historical facts. Honestly, even all of that aside, most people just use St. Patrick's Day as an excuse to get absolutely obliterated anyways. I myself, when it comes to my experience and my connection with St. Patrick's Day, this is something that I get asked about because a lot of new witches and new pagans will learn about the history of St. Patrick's Day, having not known about it previously, and ask my opinion about, like, you know, what do I think about it? What do I how do I recommend spending your time or whatever. So I personally have quite a bit of Irish blood in me. So my maiden name is O'Brien, actually, with a Y, not with an I, which is an even older spelling of the name O'Brien. My dad, when I was in high school, he got really, really, really into our family history. And he was able to trace our family's ancestry back to the Gaels, which was a branch of the Celts. And I have no doubt in my mind that I have roots in Irish, my family lineage roots in Irish paganism, and very likely with Druidism. And so, as a modern American pagan with Celtic and Irish lineage, and I'll be totally transparent, like, that is my lineage, and it is a part of my family history, and it is a part of my identity. I wanted to be so transparent about, like, first and foremost, the truth is that I'm a modern American pagan. I was born in America. My parents were born in America. Their parents were born in America. It takes a few generations in my personal lineage. It's my great grandmother on my mom's side, for example, was a first generation American. So in my family, it takes a few generations back before we came over to America. So that is the truth of my primary lineage. So I personally don't stake expertise or authority at all over, like, modern Irish culture. My exploration of that part of my lineage has been mainly through, you know, learning from my dad when in high school, when he was tracing this all back in our family history. But in my spiritual practice as a witch and as a pagan, I have familiarized myself with Celtic traditions and practices. Okay. So I am not the expert on, like, Irish tradition and being from Ireland. And this is not at all an account for the proper way to spend St. Patrick's Day as a modern day Irish person. You would need to listen to somebody from Ireland for that information. So I did want to clarify that. This is for an American pagan who has Irish and or Celtic roots, this or interest in Celtic practices or interest in practicing and celebrating or spending your time on St. Patrick's Day on March 17th in a mindful way, in a way that feels aligned with your spiritual practice, taking into consideration the history of the day. So in my home, I actually refer to March 17th as Irish Pride Day. And my husband and I have been referring to March 17th as Irish Pride Day for several years now. I want to say since 2017 or so. This feels right for us because in my home on that day, we celebrate and honor Celtic traditions while, you know, still wearing green. And we learn about leprechauns and the fae and other Irish folklore. We make our classic American Irish cuisine of corned beef and cabbage, because that's what my dad made for St. Patrick's Day when I was a kid. Honestly, and this ties in really beautifully with my episode I did for Moonday Musings on Christmas Day just last year, at the end of 2023. I was so excited that Christmas landed on a Moonday because I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about this. And this is very much connected to that. When I became a practicing pagan and witch as an adult, I grappled with, you know, how I was taught as a child and the traditions I was raised in and with, and then becoming an adult, having a spiritual awakening, embarking on a spiritual path in my lifestyle, and learning the history behind a lot of these holidays and traditions. And I really struggled to bridge that gap between what felt right spiritually and what I had like been raised on and feel very nostalgic in as a human person, as a human adult that had a childhood that has these traditions and celebrations. Like there was a big gap there for me. Here's what I have learned and here's what I do. Honestly, the way I spend the day doesn't look that different than how we spent the day when I was a kid. The main difference is my intention is in my knowledge now. I am able to make the corned beef and cabbage, make some Irish soda bread, wear my green, while celebrating and honoring my Irish and Celtic roots as a pagan. That is a beautiful way to honor the atrocities that happened from and through St. Patrick in this, in what was the driving out, and many would call the genocide, the ancient genocide of pagans in ancient Ireland. So this can be a day of celebrating in a really lighthearted way. And I think that usually that's the energy that permeates that day. And it's okay to hold some space and do some of that death work on that day and hold space for the ancient pagans and ancestors that did lose their lives in their homes for being pagan, and now having the freedom to honor and celebrate our Irish and Celtic roots as pagans. That's a really beautiful commemoration. So there are, if you are really, really interested in like, what is some witchcraft? What is some magic? What are those kinds of things that I can do on St. Patrick's Day or on March 17th or, you know, as I call it, Irish Pride Day? There are seriously like buttloads of information out there about Celtic witchcraft and spirituality and learning about the Druids. That those are not necessarily interchangeable words, by the way. Not all Celtics were Druids. But the Druids were from that region. So this is a really golden opportunity if you're really interested in incorporating some witchcraft and magic on that day. I really encourage you to carve out some time this week before Sunday or using some time on Sunday to learn about and research Irish and Celtic spirituality, folklore, witchcraft, magic. This is ever since the popularity of witchcraft in the Western world, really in like when it really spiked in the New Age era in like the 70s and 80s and 90s. This was a very commonly explored branch of witchcraft and spirituality and magic. So there's from older books that are a few decades old to modern witchcraft and spirituality books. There's seriously so many. I highly recommend going to your local bookstore or place that carries metaphysical books. You would be surprised. Everyone thinks that at a regular bookstore, you're not going to be able to find metaphysical books. And this day and age, you would actually be surprised because it's gotten really, really popular. So at least check out or give a call to your local bookstore and see. But I wouldn't even be surprised if Barnes & Noble has their own section of a lot of the big titles and stuff. And you would definitely find stuff for Celtic and Irish magic in a big place like Barnes & Noble, and if they have a metaphysical section. I haven't known. I haven't gone and browsed Barnes & Noble in years. That sounds like a fun little day trip, though. I should do that just for fun. I'll go to the local bookstore, too. Don't come at me about that. I just also love Barnes & Noble. It's a childhood thing. So if you're interested in books, start there. Library, also a pretty good shot. Again, because it's such a popularly explored topic in the metaphysical category. And then, as you can imagine, it's also just as widely available, if not more, on the internet. And if you feel weird about where to start, I really do like searching through hashtags on social media first, because a lot of times I can find a witch or a practitioner that practices that type of magic, and then they will very often recommend their favorite resources and reference books and things like that. So that's a really good way to get started if you're needing some direction. So this leads me into a couple of other ideas for really harnessing and leaning into this week's astrological energy anyways. With this Venus exaltation in Pisces beginning this evening, and we'll be there for the next month till almost the next full month, till April 5th, glamour magic was the first thing that came to mind. And here is the thing, my friend. Glamour magic is for everyone, okay? Not just people who wear makeup. And it's about damn time we start shouting that from the rooftops. Of course makeup can be a part of glamour magic. Fucking do it up if you love makeup. I love makeup and I absolutely use it in glamour magic. But I also don't use makeup in glamour magic. My skincare routine at the end of the night when I'm taking off my makeup is part of my glamour magic. I think that there is some confusion that I'm going to give a little explanation to. There is the act of glamoring, and then there is glamour magic. Glamoring, very attributed in lore and myth around vampires, for example, or even like metaphysical, you know, like metaphorical vampires in life, like people that, you know, this idea of presenting yourself in a way that gives some kind of illusion to, or mask even, to hide what is beneath. And in many, many ways, the idea and concept and act of glamoring is also very associated with having the ability to hypnotize and even like manipulate the onlooker, for example. That is glamoring. It's a thing. People do it. That's fine. But it gets confused as shit with glamour magic. And that's incorrect. Those are not interchangeable terms. And I want to set that straight for newer witches and any practitioners of energy work. So glamour magic is the act of utilizing your appearance in your magical workings. So do you see how broad and vague that definition is? It's because glamour magic can be used for a wide variety of intentions. And most people associate glamour magic with only being used with the same or similar intentions as one would use the act of glamoring to give an illusion. Like, listen, again, there is literally no judgment to glamoring. I do this. There are days in my life when I don't, this is so funny. Like, my Scorpio energy is all at the deepest, most private part of myself in my chart. And I have so many of my placements there. And you're just about to hear all of them come out right now. There are just some days, because remember, I'm a Leo rising. I'm okay with being seen. I'm okay with showing up in a lot of ways. But there are days that like I cannot. And I want to be invisible, or I want to just like come in and out of my interactions with strangers. Like, there are just days where I am totally all for the act of glamoring. Now, I wouldn't say that I necessarily use it in the way, you know, for like the hypnotizing and the manipulation, but I will like with intention get ready for the day. And my intentions in my glamour magic are like, look, I just want to kind of be a fly on the wall today. just kind of trying to get in and get out, not be anything special or anything to anybody, because I specifically don't really want to have a bunch of onlookers today. I want to be as little seen as possible today. I need that kind of privacy because of the area of my chart I just told you about. So you can use glamour magic for something like that, but they are not synonymous terms. Okay. So now for Venus being exalted in Pisces energy until April 5th, right now is a beautiful time for glamour magic. Again, it is for everyone, not just people who wear makeup. Glamour magic is about making yourself look good and feel good about how you look. That's it. And again, it's really utilizing like a transformation you can do in a mirror intertwining, like integrating, I guess is not the word I'm looking for, but we're going to use it. But integrating your intentions at the same time while you're physically making yourself look good and feel good and feel good about how you look. As you can imagine, glamour magic can be a piece in a healing journey around self-worth, self-love, and self-image. And glamour magic can, in those cases, actually be a form of shadow work, because it can be a very cathartic and very difficult experience. Because it might be doing the act of the glamour magic, even though deep, deep down you don't feel very good about how you look yet, because you're doing that healing for yourself, okay? Now, another version of glamour magic can be like I am having the worst like today, sorry. Invoking your intentions of confidence, courage, bravery, when you really need that boost. That is one of the most effective uses for glamour magic. And anybody can use it for that, regardless of if you struggle with self-image or not. So that act of like, I'm going to fucking, you know, what does Gen Z call it? I'm going to fucking slay today. That's glamour magic. Okay. So a lot of people use it for boosts in self-love, confidence, courage, like I said, and even protection. Again, very similar to how I talked about using it. It's more of a shield in some cases, but you can also use it for really any intention that you have. Abundance, focus, determination, success, peace, love, unity, respect. Just kidding. Shout out to all my inner ravers out there. glamour magic can also be outside of yourself, and you can use glamour magic on your space. And this can kind of take on a branch of cleansing magic and home and hearth magic. And so you can make a area or space in your home really, really beautiful and just make it this aesthetic place and like vibey place to be. And it doesn't even have to be forever. You can like rearrange your room or hang up some lights that you plan to leave there forever. But you could also just like do that for a little while, for like, so you have a little like bed in a reading nook or something for a few weeks while Venus is in Pisces. And then when Venus goes into Aries, maybe you're like, all right, I'm going to clean that up. And like, I want that space back to myself again or whatever. Like there's ways to use glamour magic on yourself and in a mirror and also on your space. And while Venus is in Pisces, you can find that your intuition and choices in what you choose to get ready in, like what you want to wear, what your accessories are, how you're doing your hair that day, how you're presenting yourself, or that, again, that space or that area of your life. Maybe it's your desk, your car, wherever you're like, ooh, I'm going to make this like really, again, vibey and the aesthetics just on point. This is a beautiful time to do it. And it's a time that it might feel even easier or more instinctual to do it while Venus is in Pisces. Okay. So especially if you're needing like a little like boost and some serotonin. Yeah. Glamour. Glamour magic is probably my biggest biggest tip for everybody this week. And lastly, this one was honestly pretty channeled while I was taking notes for the episode, but this is a good week to check in with how your motives and your intentions are translating into your actions right now. Think about it. Your relationships and your connections, Venus again, they can only be as healthy as you are yourself and what you're bringing to the table in that connection. So that little like zinger came through while I was taking notes. It's a good week to check in with your motives and your intentions and how they're translating into your actions right now, and particularly impacting your close relationships that mean the most to you. I think more than one person might find some value in that message this week, so I wanted to offer it. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, neighbor, for spending your moon day with me. If you love talking about astrology and magic and all of these things with me, and you want to do it with a bunch of other awesome people too, make sure you register for our astrology study club this month on March 24th. We had our first meeting last month in February. I was kind of quiet about it. I ran it as like a little tester, a little sample to see how our first meeting was. It was awesome. I'm so excited. I can't wait to meet with everybody again. This is a club that is already included for all of my full-time students in That Witch School, but tickets are just $35 and they are available for anybody who wants to join us as well. All you got to do is bring your birth chart, something to take notes, and a yummy little drink to sip on, and come ready to chat with a bunch of really cool astrology students. I can't wait to see you there. If you want to join us, all details and links are in the show notes below. So make sure, my friend, of course, that you are out there staying safe, you're letting yourself have some fun, and stay magical. What is That Witch School? Well, it's kind of my twist on Patreon. See, for as little as $5 a month, you can get instant access to our entire back catalog of incredible bonus content, like bonus episodes, witchy lessons, a ton of astrology resources, guest teachings, and so much more. But I didn't want to just keep the magic going in between episodes with bonus content. I wanted to keep the learning going. I wanted to keep the community going. So I also offered tiers that opened up opportunity for continued intentional, magical academic learning, as well as opportunity for creating community with like-minded witchy individuals. For just $30 a month, you can get full, complete access to everything inside That Witch School, including our exclusive members-only social media platform on Mighty Networks, where right now, witches and energy practitioners and students just like you are all learning, working together, sharing together, and supporting each other week in and week out. We talk about the show, we share dreams that we've had, we share each other's tarot readings, and ultimately, we support each other as magical beings in a very anti-magical world. You can join us today at thatwitchnextdoor.com/enroll to learn more and start your enrollment today.